OPB's Quick Take Northwest. Today is Tuesday, the 1st of April, 2008. I'm April Baer, no fooling, with this OPB News update. Well, the guy who packed D.B. Cooper's parachute has finally had a chance to take a look at the parachute that was found last week near Amboy, Washington. His verdict is... wrong kind. Some children found part of a parachute sticking up from a dirt road that their father was grading last week, and the FBI asked Earl Cossey to take a look at it. Cossey was the man who packed the four parachutes D.B. Cooper demanded. Cooper bailed out of a passenger jet with $200,000 in ransom money near the Oregon-Washington border back in 1971. Some of the cash has been found, but D.B. Cooper's fate is unknown. It is the world's only unsolved skyjacking. Cossey said yesterday that the newly found parachute is made out of silk and was probably made around 1945. That's the wrong material from the wrong era for Cooper's chute. Cossey used to run a skydiving outfit in Issaquah, Washington during the 70s, and he says that this parachute isn't even close. So far, the FBI has had no official comment. Former President Bill Clinton continued his campaign tour through Oregon yesterday, speaking at Oregon Health and Science University. He chose the medical setting to talk about his wife's health care plan. Later in the day, he swung east. As our Central Oregon correspondent Ethan Lindsay reports, Clinton focused on issues especially important to Oregon voters, like the housing crisis and the federal timber payments program.
Bill Clinton hit up the usual stops, such as Portland and Salem. But he also toured lesser-known territory. He spoke to 3,000 in the city of Medford in southern Oregon, and he greeted about 2,000 at a high school in Bend.
Wow, thank you.
Over the past decade, those have been two of the fastest-growing cities in the state. They are two of the most distressed housing markets in the Pacific Northwest.
This mortgage crisis in America came about because in the first half of this decade, this government had no job strategy.
Thousands of people in Bend waited in line for more than 2 hours to see Clinton speak. Fran Weaver's from Bend. She says it's not every day a former president comes around.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I mean, you know, this is a growing area, and it's nice to be recognized.
As Bill Clinton was making his speech in Central Oregon, his wife's campaign announced she was going to visit the state later in the week. Ethan Lindsay, OPB News, Bend.
State Senator Ted Ferrioli is one of rural Oregon's most outspoken advocates. A Republican from the John Day area, Ferrioli was a big supporter of the state's Office of Rural Policy. He's often been critical of Governor Ted Kulongoski's relations with rural and eastern Oregon. Ferrioli has just resigned from a panel the governor set up to deal with the loss of federal timber payments to rural counties. The feds stopped sending billions of dollars to rural Oregon for this purpose this year. Ferrioli says he's off the governor's Federal Forest and County Services Task Force and that the panel was talking about the wrong issues. He says he reached a breaking point when other members started discussing new state property taxes or regional gas taxes.
Staying on the task force and being a party to $100 million in referrals on taxes is what we call rope-a-dope. You know, rope-a-dope is where you basically get a whole bunch of people together. You have a foregone conclusion that the people on the committee might refuse to sign off on the report, but nobody can say they weren't at the table.
Ferrioli says he left the table because government regulations restrict economic growth in rural parts of Oregon. The governor is in Europe on state business this week. Kulongoski's office said that he was sorry and disappointed about Ferrioli's decision. The task force will continue to meet and discuss the county payments issue. Members of an Oregon task force assigned to reform the state's land use planning system gave some first hints yesterday about where they're headed. Rob Manning reports.
The so-called Big Look task force is recently back from several months without funding. Democratic lawmakers cut funding so that the committee wouldn't be working during last year's ballot measure campaign for property rights referral, Measure 49. In spite of the measure's passage, property rights is still the top issue up for debate, according to a survey of task force members done by consultant John Fregonesi.
Development rights is number one.
The task force also wants to help cities boost development without encroaching on farmland, and they're looking seriously at shifting the system so local governments and regional bodies have more authority. The task force will start meetings with interest groups later this spring, where they'll discuss as many as 24 possible changes to state law. Rob Manning, OPB News, Salem.
A couple from Oregon City, accused of withholding medical care from their daughter and trying to cure her with prayer, have pleaded not guilty to charges of manslaughter and criminal mistreatment. Carl and Raylene Worthington may be the first parents prosecuted in the 9 years since Oregon started cracking down on faith healing deaths. They could spend more than 6 years in prison. Doctors say their little girl, 15-month-old Ava, had pneumonia and a blood infection, and that these diseases could have been prevented or treated with antibiotics. Oregon's crackdown on faith healing followed the deaths of children of several members of Oregon City's Followers of Christ Church. That's the church that the Worthingtons belong to. Washington Governor Chris Gregoire is getting ready to sign into law an update of the 2-year state budget. The signing's scheduled for today. And as Austin Jenkins reports, lawmakers are waiting to see what she might cut.
Majority Democrats passed a $300 million update to the state budget. It included more money for teachers and other Democratic priorities. But perhaps more important, lawmakers left more than $800 million in the bank, most of it in the state's new rainy day fund. But even that may not be enough for Governor Gregoire. Senate Majority Leader Lisa Brown expects the governor will veto out individual line items in the budget to get the savings even higher.
I don't think there will be major changes, but I imagine if she sees some things she doesn't consider to be high priorities, she may say, let's think about this next year.
Brown acknowledges any cuts by the governor will cause some consternation. She says everything in the budget matters to some lawmaker or some constituency. Minority Republicans have consistently said Democrats aren't saving enough and predict the state will face a big deficit next year. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.
Here's a rundown of our top sports stories of the day. In college baseball, Oregon State's Joey Wong singled with no outs in the bottom of the 13th, scoring John Tomasini in from third. It was thus that the Oregon State Beavers got a 5-4 victory over the University of Portland at a marathon 4-hour game last night at Goss Stadium. Wong was only 1 for 7, but boy, the one he got sure counted. In college football, the University of Oregon opens spring football practice today for the first of 15 days of drills, a deep and varied list of quarterbacks trying to get that starter's job. Two candidates, Darren Thomas and Chris Harper, are freshmen, but a rehabilitating quarterback injured 5 months ago, Nate Costa, may also be a favorite. Justin Roper's also getting a lot of attention. He threw for 4 touchdowns in Oregon's Sun Bowl victory over South Florida. In track and field news, the University of Oregon Ducks will face Minnesota, Penn State, and Washington this weekend at the 4-way Pepsi Invitational track meet at Hayward Field. Some Ducks turned in stellar performances last weekend at the Sacramento State Nike Elite Invitational. Ashton Eaton and Brianne Thiessen turned in NCAA meet qualifiers in decathlon and heptathlon. Weather forecast today looks beautiful. See if you can get outside for a walk today. Here's how it's going to go. We have quite a bit of fog this morning blanketing the coast and the valley. Some of that's manifesting as freezing fog, so do take care this morning. Later on, partly sunny with highs in the 50s. For Central Oregon, mostly sunny today with temperatures in the upper 40s. And for Eastern Oregon, clear skies with high temperatures in the 50s and lower 60s. The mountains and high plateaus may still be in the 30s to 40s range. And some spots east of the Cascades are going to be very cold again tonight. The Weather Service is predicting near-record lows for Central Oregon in the 15 to low 20s range, and along the Columbia Basin. Think mid-20s to low 30s. And this brings us to the end of today's podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Signing off, I'm April Baer.